Good afternoon, friends. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. It's a wonderful privilege to come out and to bring the good news of the Christian gospel, a gospel that all of us need. Because one day we're going to meet our Maker. And don't listen to the atheist who'll tell us there is no God. You know, the evidence is overwhelming. It's all around you. But more than that, the evidence is also contained within you. God has left His witness in you to tell you that there is a God. And what is that witness, you may well ask, that's within you? Well, that witness that is within you is your conscience. Conscience tells you there is a God. And conscience will tell you when someone is telling you the truth. As you'll find here, we are seeking to preach the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge that many people will not accept the truth. We know that. But your conscience will tell you that despite the infirmities of the preacher and what he's trying to say, he is still telling you the truth. And your conscience will register with that truth. And therefore, we come out and we seek to bring the good news of the Christian gospel to you, and we recognize that many will simply dismiss it. But they will dismiss it despite their conscience testifying to the truth of the message. Now, why do we need Christ? Why do we need the Christian gospel? Can we not just live our lives without any reference to Christ and the gospel? Can we not just get on with things just the way we are? Well, you know, we cannot. Because ultimately, one day, we're going to come face to face with our Maker. And the Apostle Paul tells us the great purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Who is the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God. Now, Christians believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three persons, one God, the same in substance, equal in power and in glory. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in three persons, one God. And the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, became the Son of Man. And the Apostle Paul tells us this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You and I have come into the world. We've come into the world by ordinary generation. I don't need to elaborate upon that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But the Lord Jesus came into this world in a different way. He didn't come in by ordinary generation. He came into this world by extraordinary generation. He did not have a human father. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by an extraordinary supernatural act of God the Holy Spirit. We cannot explain this. More than that, we cannot understand it. This is beyond us. But we can see the effects of it. The fact that the Lord Jesus lived a perfect life demonstrated that He did not inherit original sin like every one of us. And therefore, His coming into the world was unique. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But He was born in the normal manner. In due time, after her pregnancy had come to fruition, Mary delivered her child. The Lord Jesus, born in Bethlehem. And for around 30 years, he lived a very ordinary life. He learnt a trade. He was obedient to his parents. He helped and worked with his father, or his stepfather, I should say. And he was a joiner, a carpenter. But the time came when he began his public ministry. And when he was baptized, what happened? The Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And that was to enable him and to equip him for his public ministry. And for 3 years, he went around Israel, teaching, preaching, performing miracles, giving ample evidence that he was the Son of God who became the Son of Man, who was the God-appointed Savior of God's people. And this is something that we find quite remarkable and we delight in, that the Lord Jesus was unique in many ways. But he was unique in this way, in that he never ever had to say sorry. He never had to apologize for anything he did or he said or he thought. Now that's remarkable. We know ourselves very often, probably every day, we've got to say sorry to someone. We certainly got to say sorry to God because we have sinned every day. But we have to apologize to our wives and to our husbands and to our children, to our friends, because we've said things wrong. We've done wrong things. But that wasn't the case for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knew no sin. You and I are sinners. We don't like to be reminded, but we are. The Bible's clear. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. More than that, it goes on in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, for there is no difference. No difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that was, we would believe, was principally said to the Jews, because the Jews were God's special people. And they had received many, many blessings and many privileges that the other nations round about them did not receive. And they thought, well, the gospel's fine. They thought the gospel was good for the Gentiles who were idolaters and who were up to their necks in sin. But it doesn't matter for us. We're the Jews. We're God's special people. But Paul, a Jew, tells them, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, this includes you and me. All of us, without exception, have sinned. And this is a great, great problem. We might not think it is, but it is. And it certainly is in the sight of God. Because God is holy, God is pure, and he will not receive those who are sinful because of their sins. Now, this is a real, real predicament for mankind, and mankind is trying to deal with this problem in various ways. Witness the amount of religions that we have today. I've said it before, and no doubt the figure will be out of date by now, but one person has said that there are 4,200 religions in the world today. Well, there'll be more than that now, because we're adding religion after religion, and we're demonstrating that we're seeking to get right with God by adopting religion, religion, religion. Well, Christianity is unique in many ways, but it's unique in this way, that Christianity does not originate with man. Christianity has come from God. It is what God has done in Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. You know, many people will tell me, well, You've got the Bible there, minister. But the Bible is written by man. Well, that's true. Man did physically write the Bible. That's true. But it's not man's ideas. It's not man's thoughts. Holy men of God were inspired to write what they wrote. And they wrote exactly what God would have them write. And in that sense, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And therefore, this book that I'm holding here, this Bible, it's not my Bible. It's not my word. I'm not the author of it. Neither is my congregation or my denomination, or neither indeed is the Christian church. It doesn't originate with the Christian church. It has come from God. It's a message from God. Let me try and read, if the pages will not be blown away, let me try and read one or two verses from the book of Hebrews, what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew Christians. Here he's talking about how God has spoken in time past. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high. What's the Apostle Paul telling us there? He is speaking that God has spoken in the Old Testament in various ways. But now in the New Testament, he has spoken to us by his Son. Spoken directly to mankind by his Son. And who is his Son? His Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people who say that God does not have a Son. But the Bible calls God our Father. And God's eternal. And therefore, if he's our Father, eternal, he must have had a Son to be called a Father. And therefore, he must have had a Son from all eternity. And that Son is the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. And he has come, and he has spoken to us the gospel. And he tells us in the gospel to come unto him, and to avail ourselves of that glorious and wonderful salvation that he has secured by his life and death and resurrection. This is a faithful saying then, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's the great purpose. There's a great person, the Lord Jesus. Now he outlines the great purpose of his coming. It was in order to save sinners. This is something, again, that people don't like to hear and don't like to be reminded about. But the Bible doesn't make sense unless we understand this doctrine of sin. Way back in the beginning of time, when God made the heaven and the earth, on the sixth day he made mankind. He had made everything else. He made the sea, the trees, the plants, the fish, the birds, the animals. And then finally, at the very apex and the very zenith of his creation, he made mankind, and he made them in his image. God created man, male and female, in his image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. And he made Adam first. Adam he made out of the dust. And then he breathed the life of God into him, and he became a living soul. And Adam was perfect, absolutely perfect. He was like his maker. In some sense, he reflected the image of Almighty God. And then, because Adam was lonely, what happened? God made Adam a helpmeet. He made Eve. He took a rib from Adam, and from that rib he made Eve. And these two persons, our first parents, were made supernaturally, and they were perfect, absolutely perfect, and they enjoyed peace, blessedness, happiness, a wonderful relationship with their Creator. But something happened that changed everything. What was it? What was it? The tempter came, the evil one, Satan, God's great enemy, who's out to destroy everything that God has ever done. He tempted Eve, and Eve succumbed. She ate the forbidden fruit. She gives them to her husband. And as we know, the world changed. Everything changed from that moment in time. What happened? Sin came into the world. Paul tells us about this experience. He says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, again, pick up your Bibles and read this for yourself. Don't rely on what I say, but you'll find it in God's Word. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God told Adam and Eve that if they would eat the forbidden fruit, they would die. The moment they eat it, they would eat it, they would die. That's what happened. When they ate the forbidden fruit, they died. They did not die physically. They lived for many, many years afterwards. But they died spiritually the moment that they ate the forbidden fruit. And then, of course, physical death came. And that's why people die today. It is because of sin. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we are confronted with a great predicament. We're sinners. We're sinners in the sight of God. And that does cause a problem. And we cannot deal with it. It's too great a problem. Sin is too great an issue. We cannot deal with it. And indeed, we don't want to deal with it. But God does. And God has. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to deal with our greatest problem. You see, He was born into this world perfect, lived a perfect life. Then He went to the cross. There, wicked men handed Him over to Pontius Pilate, who then handed Him over to be crucified. And wicked men thought they were getting rid of the Lord Jesus. He was a troublemaker. He was one who exposed their hypocrisy, and they didn't like it. And they thought by crucifying Him, killing Him, that that would be the end of the matter. But it did not work out, because it was all part of God's plan. And when Christ was on the cross, He was suffering in the room and in the place of mankind. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what the Apostle Paul tells the Christians at Corinth. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might receive the righteousness of God in Him. And here we have the very heart and the very essence of the gospel. Christ died in the place of sinners. And if we as sinners, will put our trust upon the Lord Jesus, if we will accept that He is the God-appointed mediator and Messiah, then we will have our sins forgiven. This is the gospel, to go forth and to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. And this is what we seek to do this afternoon, even for the few moments that you pass by, that you might hear something. The Bible tells us to hear and your soul shall live. And how can you possibly hear unless you have a preacher who will tell you? And how will you put your faith and hope and trust upon a person whom you've never heard of? And why would you trust someone you've never heard anything about? And you'll not hear about him if you go to the pub or if you go to the shopping mall. You need to come to the house of God. That's where the gospel is proclaimed. And because you don't go to the house of God, then we must come out to the highways and to the byways and to wherever people will meet and to wherever they will congregate in the hope that they might hear and that a gospel seed would fall into your heart and that it might bear fruit. That's why we come out. And we come out, friends, because we have the only hope for mankind. And we say this most sincerely. Is it not true, friends, that we're all mortal? Is it not true that life is passing by very, very quickly? Here we are, nearly the middle of another year, almost. It's just round the corner. Where has time gone? You can say that for your life. Where has it gone? Is it not true that our lives are but a vapor? Is it not true that the Bible would tell us to teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom? What is the wisdom that we are to apply to? The wisdom is, friends, that we must recognize that one day we're going to leave this world. We're going to leave this world and leave everything behind. And we're going to be ushered into another world. The world where Jesus Christ is. And we need to be ready and prepared for that world. Many of you, no doubt, will be preparing for holidays. We're coming up to the silly season, holiday time. And you're looking forward to it. But you will be preparing for it. Well, if you should prepare for your holiday, you should also prepare for that great day when you shall be gathered to your fathers, when you will go the way of all the earth. And on that day, you will have an audience with Almighty God. How will you stand? How will you fare? How will you get on that day? Where are you going? Many people are simply trusting, do my best, and God will accept me. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that if we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as our judge on that day, we'll be condemned unless we have a Savior. Unless our sins are forgiven. Unless we are right with God, we will be condemned. How can I possibly get right with God? The only way, friends, is through the gospel. The only way is through what Jesus Christ has done. We must receive Him, we must embrace Him as He has freely offered to us in the gospel. And that's why we come out, because we don't keep this message to ourselves. This is a life-transforming message. This is the only hope for mankind. Religion cannot save us, our good works cannot save us. Nothing can save us but Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We're a local congregation. This is our local patch. And we're out inviting you to come along to hear more concerning the Lord Jesus and the gospel. And we ask you to come along to our meeting. We meet on the Lord's Day, that's Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6, and we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, and we give you all a warm